Yes, it is the 1st of June 2023, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you, particularly to our Queensland listeners who are up and about after they won Origin 1 at Adelaide Oval, 48,613 there last night, 26-18, the Maroons over New South Wales, heading to Suncorp for Game 2, and the Blues led 18-16 with less than 10 minutes left. Tom Fliegler was also in the sin bin. Ridiculous sin bin it was too. But Cameron Munster, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou combined the second of the Hammers' two tries. And then Lindsay Collins outlept James Tedesco, passed to Munster to seal it. And another famous Maroons victory. And Queenslander, Fox League star, Yvonne Sampson. Oh, this is going to be painful. Morning, Vonnie. How are you? You are never painful, Vonnie.
What an introduction.
Yeah.
Great to have you, Vonnie.
Yeah, awesome to have you, Vonnie.
What about the Vonnie? Groan? I've never had such a... You know, when you walk into a room, that's the last thing you want. People to go, oh, here she is.
Well, you should see our text line this morning, Vonnie. Teddy's finished. Cleary's not good enough at this level. Freddie, well, Freddie's gone. Who have I missed? Oh, Turbo, nowhere near good enough. I mean, all the stars gone, according to our listeners, or a lot of our listeners this morning. A few are sticking solid.
Bring in six more Panthers. Because it's not Penrith versus Queensland as it is.
The post-mortem is as brutal as it's ever been.
Yeah, the bloodletting has started. And you know what? It really started right on that final siren for New South Wales. Questions over Freddie's selection. How was he using Nicho Hynes? Why was Tevita Pangai there? He had those risky moments. Is he going to be there for game two? And of course, when Freddie says things like, he was pretty shell-shocked that the Blues, how they didn't handle those opening exchanges. Queensland jumped out to lead 10-0. And then for Freddie to say, yeah, it was disorganised in attack. And people are saying, why? Why is that? We've gone with the club connections. We've done everything right. We've got the Roosters, Blues and Kangaroos captain, world's best player, James Tedesco at fullback. Why is it clunky? Api Korosau won 2 premierships with the Panthers. Why is it not working? And of course, the crosshairs turn directly to the 6 and the 7 and the 9 and the 1. And then, of course, eventually the crosshairs are going to turn to Freddie. So I loved what he said in his post-match press conference, that absolutely nothing is impossible, because it does feel like Mission Impossible now with Queensland 1-0 up in this series. Game 2 heading to the Cauldron at Suncorp Stadium. You know what they say about Queensland? Beautiful one day, rank State of Origin fans are next, and it's going to be berserk up there if they wrap up that series. And then you want to talk about bloodletting and fallout. If Queensland win Game 2 and that's it for the State of Origin, that's all done. The question then is over Brad Fittler. Does he remain a State of Origin coach? So, yeah, plenty to play out. And I totally understand why people are up in arms about it.
Well, one thing I do know about Origin, Vonnie, and the reason it survived so long, is nothing is certain. There's no such thing as a certainty. So I can understand the frustration of people that support New South Wales this morning, but I think we need to just calm down, wait to see what happens in game 2, because I still believe that New South Wales can get it right and then bring it back to Sydney for a third game. I know we want instant justification about a result, and we want to know what happened, and we need to find out what happened. But I certainly wouldn't be making mass changes, and I wouldn't be sort of over-analysing and sitting there and being down in the dump saying we can't win, because I think New South Wales, you throw Latrell back into it. Pup spoke this morning about, Tedesco. He'd be feeling as bad as anyone being the leader, knowing that he has to step up a lot more in game 2. These people, they've got a lot of pride with their performance, and they'd be shattered after last night's game. They'd be waking up this morning disappointed, hearing all the negative noise around, hoping that they get a chance to go up there and prove to people that they can play at this level and win at this level. So I'm never prepared to write New South Wales off regardless of where they play.
I think the other thing, Vonnie, as well, is I think from a a sportsman or sportswoman's mindset at the highest level, I think you don't mind being booted when you deserve a boot. So right now, this New South Wales squad deserve the criticism.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean flick them. I think just the smack sometimes, just the realisation we weren't at our best, individually looking in the mirror going, shit, I let the team down, I underperformed, I made an error here, under pressure, I didn't make the right decision. Whatever that is, that you can take. But what you do want, what you crave, is the opportunity under more pressure, under more doubt, with more people hating you, to prove people wrong or to play the brand of sport that you know you can play. And someone like Tedesco, who has done it day in, day out over a long period of time, he will feel it like anyone else, but don't rip it up and throw him out. Give him a crack now to show how great a player he is. I think that's what this New South Wales team need. Yep, they underperform. Got it. Give him more pressure now going to Queensland. More expectation. Give him that chance.
It's 100%. I completely agree with you. It is 100% set up for a major redemption story. And that is going to be the narrative of this State of Origin. And State of Origin is built off the impossible moments. Those wins, those champions that stepped up when against all odds, they had no right to be there, no right to score it, the miracle try, all of that. That is what we have celebrated and tuned in for since 1980. So I think the Blues can definitely, and imagine what kind of result that's going to be and victory that will be if the Blues go to Brisbane, beat Queensland on their own home soil and then bring the decider back to Sydney. So, I mean, then let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The Blues were in front with 7 minutes to go. And not only that, James Tedesco was held up over the line. So, look, the Blues had a couple of stupid penalties right off the bat. And so then Munster popped that really nice kick through for Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. And then Selwyn Cobbo secured the second. All of a sudden, Queensland are out 10-0. Tedesco was held up over the line. Tyson Frizzell was denied what I thought was a try. I just don't know how you could positively say that there was no bit of grass on that ball. I know it went up as a no try, so they had to stick with that. But Murray Tuilagi, like, if it wasn't for his defensive efforts, Blues would have been back in that game much, much earlier. So Fita left with an HIA. Then Liam Martin just splits Queensland defence beautifully. I think it was in between Val and DCE. So then they were back within four. And then out of nowhere, Holmes tries this really clumsy offload, and then Api Korosau pinched a try. And then it's game on. But then the last 7 minutes, and Freddie mentioned this in his post-match press conference, they're going to have to go back forensically and look where all this fell apart, because they just mishandled that so poorly. Queensland had no right to do that with one in the sin bin, no wingers, stocks dwindling out, players out of position. All of a sudden, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, just off Munster, who turns up when the opposition least wants him to. Like, where do you least want me to pop up? That's where he is. He's unbelievable like that. He's such a cutthroat competitor. Munster sets up Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, and you think, oh, well, that's it. That's the match winner there. But they weren't quite done. For some unknown, bizarre reason, Lindsay Collins dunks on Tedesco on top of his club captain's head, gets up above him, which is quite fitting given that we were in Adelaide. That sort of, I mean, it's not often that we get some sort of specky like that, and then gets the ball away. Munster with the match winner. Like, that was just what, you know, and Billy spoke about the Queensland spirit and all that sort of stuff, but that was just bedlam in the last 7 minutes that all of a sudden changed the entire complexity of the game. Boys, you were there. It looked like a bit of a slippery night. There was some footing issues. You know, like, it wasn't the worst result in the world. So, Blues fans, if you're waking up, I know it feels heavy. I know it feels grim. It wasn't the end of the world. Queensland, though, they're cock-a-hoop. Let them have it. We'll take the game two to Queensland. And you know, there's going to be a lot of water under the bridge between now and then. Of course, you'd think that Latrell Mitchell comes back in. Boys, would you have Tevita Pengai back in? Is that one of the changes you'd make? And I'll throw Hines into that equation. How do you best utilise him if Appy's going to play the 80?
Well, that's the discussion we're having this morning about Nico, and the discussion we had when he was named as 14. You know, how do you bring him into the game? How's he going to be used? Appy got through a power of work last night. Looked like he could get through the 80. But again, he wasn't really threatening out a dummy half. So do you want your dummy half to be threatening, rather than just being that workaholic? So you might have to look at maybe, you know, bring in another hooker, so to speak, because I reckon Cookie last night there were opportunities for Appy to run. He didn't run, but I reckon Cookie would have picked it up and gone through the middle of that Queensland ruck, and that could have created some space on the edges for New South Wales. But one of the things for mine, Vonnie, was how disjointed they were early in New South Wales. Or in fact, the whole game. Most of the time when they had the ball, they looked clunky, never really built a lot of pressure. There was no sort of fluency with their attack.
Yeah, I had a quick look at the actual form of each individual just before we went on air last night. Teddy down on his own form. Like, he's an elite player, but you just expect, oh, that's James Tedesco. He'll just, you know, go back to be, you know, a powerful fullback that we're used to seeing. Tom Trbojevic had one good game leading into this. Josh Adokar literally has had one game in the last 2 months and he's icing his ankle around the clock. Cleary and Luai, they've been off and on. The Panthers, and that's a barometer for the Panthers really all season. Yes, they can put on these major scores. Luai had a couple of good games leading into this, but don't forget everyone was calling for Nicho Hynes to replace him at six and saying, you know, you've got to put someone better beside Cleary for at that origin level. Appy has been toiling hard and you know, really learning and stretching himself in his leadership for the West Tigers, because God knows, up until a few weeks ago, they were having a bludger of a season. And then all of a sudden, that competition turned around. They've got a few results and they're up and about. But Appy, you know, he's at the West Tigers now. He doesn't have that instant hit with maybe his six and seven that he would usually do. So, and I think, you know, Payne probably didn't have enough minutes. I think he's one of the best players we've got in this competition. But he wasn't that almighty, all-encompassing, fearsome forward that we have seen him. And, you know, the Blues already flagged this. They said, we don't want to be bullied by Queensland. And they were bullied by people like Reuben Cotter, who just in his second State of Origin game, again played the full 80 minutes, was man of the match, and just, you know, continues to prove that when he pulls on that Maroons jumper, even though the Cowboys have really been nowheresville and doesn't look like turning around anytime soon, that he can step up into that arena. So I think we were expecting that switch to come from all those champions, and especially coming off that World Cup, we know what they can do on a representative level. It just didn't work. And yeah, you're right, the clunkiness is not concerning. It's a question, because there really is no straightforward answer why. You've all won premierships together. You've won World Cups together. What's the problem?
Yvonne Sanson from Fox League joining us. And Vonnie, as far as Queensland is concerned, the legend of Billy Slater, this time the coach, grows.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, he was really honest. In that post-match press conference, he just said they just went after that game with the 10 minutes to go, and it wasn't overly smart. He was the first one to say that. They're going to have to smarten up big time for game two. But it was just that guts and determination that he expected of his team. And on the inside of their jerseys, they've got the inscription from the legend Dick Tosser Turner just saying, do your duty. And that's just all about that greater sense of purpose for your state. And that's all the talk and the buy-in and the promises that they make to each other every time they go into camp. And we haven't talked about Reece Walsh. And given all the focus and, you know, all the chatter saying that they're going to target him, we're going to go after him, he's Queensland's only debutant, we're going to make sure that he has a rough night in his first game of Origin. I thought he was sensational. He stood up into the occasion. He's an absolute star. He's building foundations to his game. Even though he was in the squad a couple of years ago, I think he's far superior player in every regard now, 2 years into it. I'm so glad that he was able to really step forward and enjoy his time in a Maroon jersey. But yeah, you're right. Billy Slater just has that magic touch, as he did with the player. You know, it's just, he's just got that. He's the Midas man. And now we're seeing it as a coach as well. So, you know, let's not get started on coaches and who's going to take over Melbourne and Roosters and Dragons. But yeah, look, Billy Slater's doing an amazing job for Queensland.
Oh, we'll get to the Dragons. I'm sure that the other half, well, I know he had quite a bit to say about it on his on his radio program yesterday, which a couple of our listeners have actually referenced on the text line, but we will get to the Dragons. Well, welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Europa League finals in extra time between Sevilla and Roma. It is 1-1. It looks like penalties loom there. Great win overnight in the French Open in the second round. Tanasi Kokkinakis, the Aussie, threw in five sets after more than 4.5 hours on court, beating Stan Wawrinka. The top seed, Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz, won in four sets against his Japanese opponent. Novak Djokovic has just gone through in straight sets against Vucevic of Hungary. And unfortunately, Jason Kubler was beaten in straight sets by Fabio Fognini. And we're going to have Roger Rashid on the show a little later this morning. But 26-18 last night, Queensland over New South Wales at Adelaide Oval, 48,613. I've got to say, the weather was, well, it was perfect, really. It was, you know, pretty warm. Wasn't too much wind. And the track, though, we've had, you know, quite a few texts about, you know, the players' footing, and it looks like, you know, a few were slipping over at times. I mean, it does feel like James Tedesco seems to slip over a lot, Loz. But, you know, he wasn't going to stop that final try, but the players did have some issues with their footing at times, but overall conditions were superb.
I was surprised with the weather down here in Adelaide. When we got off the plane on Monday, it hasn't changed much. It's been overcast. It's been a bit of rain around. But it hasn't been as cold. I think it was about 16 or 17 degrees by kickoff last night, which was outstanding weather. Yes, it was a little bit slippery underfoot, but I don't think you can blame that on the loss for New South Wales. Queensland just wanted it more. They outworked New South Wales last night. And under the pump, when New South Wales were in front with 10 minutes to go, they just didn't shut it down. They just didn't know how to seal the game, yet Queensland kept coming and coming and coming. And they thoroughly deserve their victory.
Just to give you, Navon Sampson from Fox League joining us, just to give you a bit of a taste of some of the texts we're receiving this morning. Vonnie, New South Wales needs a new coach, new captain, and a fullback who will defend the try line and pass the ball. That's from Richard. Very disappointing, lads, last night. L. Mitchell, fullback next game. Hines for Luai, Mitchell for Turbo, Cook onto bench. One more chance for Teddy Fittler. Well, he can run barefoot through the forest, says Jobbo. So they're the sort of texts we're getting this morning.
Oh,
it
my
is
God.
Brutal. Brutal. As brutal as I've ever seen it, actually.
He can run we're talking, barefoot through the forest.
We're talking, you know, some of the biggest names in the game here who have been great servants to the game. And a lot of New South Wales fans, if they haven't lost patience, it's wearing as thin as it gets, Vonnie.
Oh, I can understand. It's an emotional response and everyone just wakes up and you just feel a bit heavier, you know, like just ruins your week. But the good news is we've only got, what, another 24 hours and we've got some NRL action to distract us with. And the great game of rugby league, we've got the sideshow of the Jason Ryles all bubbling along. But, yeah, I can totally understand. It's State of Origin is such a... You have to emotionally invest. And when you get disappointed... you get these personal responses and you take it personally and you start screaming at the TV. And that's what makes State of Origin so different to anything else that we enjoy in rugby league, is that you're furious. But then on the other end of the scale, you're jubilant. And imagine the pep in the step of every Maroons fan today. So, yeah, look, I'm feeling for the Blues and let it all out, everyone. It's all right. This is a safe space.
Just on that then, Vonnie, I'll certainly have to go back and watch it on video to get a better perspective of it and break it all down, in particular that last 10, 12 minutes. But when you think about it, New South Wales are in front by two. Flegley gets sin-binned. They've got Fifita and Hunt. Fifita's back row to centre. Ben Hunt playing on the wing. They're a man down. Why did New South Wales fail, do you think, to capitalise on those opportunities that they had in front of them? They were in front. They should have been controlling the game. They should have been able to do all the right things to close that game down. In your opinion, why didn't they?
There is no reason New South Wales should have lost that. It was the last 7 minutes made no sense at all if I'm a New South Wales fan. Listening, for all those reasons you just mentioned, a man in the sin bin, players playing out of position. You could see Ben Hunt turning around going, is this where I stand? Is this what a winger does? Am I in the right spot? What are we doing here? Reuben Cotter commented after the game and they said, what was going on in those final few moments? He said it's a cyclone thing. So this is something Billy Slater's come up with in camp. So a cyclone is a mixture of things. It's a bit of a process. It's about kicking to the corners, having good kick chase and getting good line speed on play ones, two and three. So it's about actually just turning up for each other, doing whatever it takes, selfless attitude. And I think they just, Billy Slater called it guts and determination. It felt a little bit more lucky than that. But if you've got things like just little gems like, you know, guys, cyclone, if they're screaming at cyclone in the final few minutes of game one of State of Origin, everyone on that paddock knows what is expected. You do whatever is possible. And that was what you saw with Lindsay Collins jumping up, climbing all over James Tedesco. Like, I haven't seen Lindsay Collins do. And but the fact that he didn't mess it up, like, how did that work? Yeah. He gets the ball away then for Munster, who, as we know, is just such a competitor, is always on the spot, and then races away for the match winner. And Hamiso Tabuaifeta, I thought, was sensational. He played with confidence. He said he's feeling smarter and stronger and faster than ever before. He said, I needed to cut down the time that Tommy Trbojevic had with the ball, and he did that defensively. So I think for Queensland, they opened the account early. They jumped out to a 10-0 lead. Then it was all about defence. But you're right, for New South Wales, they were in the lead, and then it just imploded with the amount of games of experience, premiership experience, World Cup experience, club connections that were on the field at that time for New South Wales. There is no reason that they should have lost that game in the final 7 minutes.
Going back a few years, if you're a Queensland supporter, and even a rugby league supporter in general, do you ever think we'd be talking about Daly Cherry Evans' leadership capabilities at Origin level and how he has just grown another leg?
I thought his cards were marked. I thought everyone thought his Origin cards were marked. Yeah, because it was almost like never to return stuff, and he was, you know, on the front, on the back page of the Courier, and it was a really tough time for Daly Cherry Evans. But I think just moments like the 40-20, major turning point for Queensland. He's just matured into that role, and no one gave him credit for being a captain. No one thought he had those leadership qualities. We're seeing that now. The other comeback that probably is glossed over a little bit, Ben Hunt, he was so down. I thought he was on the brink of retirement. He couldn't, you know, he looked like he had the world on his shoulders. He was, you know, playing very negatively. You know, people were questioning how much money was on, very similar to DCU. You're not worth your paycheck. Get rid of him. And look, he's become one of the most cherished competitors that we have in the representative arena, not just for Queensland, but for the Kangaroos. And taken that step that will do whatever the team needs of me. Yes, I play halfback for my team at club level for the Dragons, but you need me to be a part-time hooker. You need me to start the game, wear those opening exchanges in the old-fashioned softening up period in the first 20 minutes, and then stay on the field. So expansive is his game that when Harry Grant comes on, you can still keep Ben out there. And then jumping onto the wing in the final few minutes, yep, good as gold, no problem. So it is amazing that the DCE, Ben Hunt, like, you know, these guys, they really had no one, really, no, not a friend in the world at times in the game. And yet here they are, probably two of our most experienced and reliable people when push comes to shove in State of Origin.
Well, I think a star was born last night in young Rhys Walsh. I mean, we've always known he's had talent for such a young man. He didn't look out of place. And you know, with the more games he plays and the attitude that he has to his football, he's going to be something special on that arena.
And you can understand why Billy was a bit shirty when the journos kept questioning him on the eve of this game. And then, you know, with Anthony Minicello said, yep, the Blues are going to get up and bash him and, you know, get on top of him and doing all that. And you know, the questions about to Billy, well, do you reckon he's ready? And he just simply said, have you seen him play? And we've all seen him play. He's a star. He was very nervous, I have to say, looking at the Maroons before kickoff. He was just, you could tell he was just buzzing. His eyes were wide. He was ready to go. And a lot of people said it was going to be rocks or diamonds for Rhys Walsh. And I think we could safely say he's absolutely a diamond. And, I don't know what that means for Kalyn Ponga going forward, because often people have said you can't have both. You've got to have one or the other. But I don't know if Rhys did anything to lose his spot for game two.
Better talk some Dragons. So Denny Wilder broke the story yesterday that, the now former Roosters assistant coach, Jason Riles, turned down the Dragons job. Instead, he's off to the Melbourne Storm in a coaching role starting next season or into next season. And naturally, he'll be in a position to succeed Craig Bellamy. So he's turned down reportedly a lot of cash. Now, Phil Gould predicted this would happen only last week on 100% footy. So what do you read into what transpired yesterday? Well, firstly, for St. George Illawarra.
Wasn't it a blood river day for the Dragons? It was the Ryles stuff breaking and then the news that St. George, the bank, the third longest running sponsorship in the game, and really synonymous with the club, St. George have pulled their sponsorship. So it was just one blow after the other for the Dragons. My understanding is Jason Ryles had obviously well advanced discussions with the club and said, yep, these are my conditions. If you want me to be a head coach, this is what I would need. Because I think we can all agree that the success of a head coach is a lot to do with obviously the talent and the foresight and whatever that coach brings to the team, but also the bedrock around that coach, the people in position that can take a lot and shoulder a lot of the other stuff that it takes to be a success in the NRL. So, and I don't believe that St. George Illawarra had done any of those things that they had discussed in previous meetings. So as time wore on, they got closer to a deadline. Ryles looked at it and said, well, the things that we've spoken about, what have you done about that? Nothing had been done. So all of a sudden, it looks like, I don't know if I'm going to get much more than lip service or, you know, some vague promises from this club. Can I trust them? When you look at a structure like the Melbourne Storm, everything is ready-made. Panisi is there. There's already a very well-proven foundation at that club, the support in and around the coach and the NRL team. And I think Jason just made a call for his coaching future.
What path do they go down now, Vonnie? Are they still on the lookout for a younger coach, or are they going to turn to a more experienced coach, possibly a Flanagan or a Hasler or a Michael Maguire?
Well, all of a sudden, Flano comes well into the frame, doesn't he? And Des certainly isn't out of it. Do you go with one of the older, proven NRL coaches like a Flano or a Des or a Madge? In the interim, while you're waiting for potentially a Dean Young or a Ben Hornby to emerge and get a little bit more experience. So I'm really not sure. I know, as you mentioned, my wonderful, long-suffering husband, Chris, is just, I've never seen him more depressed. I think he was on the verge of tears yesterday. It's just so tough to watch, you know, fans go through it. And you know, because they're, really, it's been a long stretch since 2010, and just, you know, I think with recruitment, stability, success, the expectations of what is such a famous jersey, they're getting pretty fed up with it, and I think a lot of the people at the club are under the pump. So, yeah, I don't know if everyone at the club is on board with having a discussion with Flano, but yeah, I mean, you could probably do worse.
Round 40. We had Clarky doing dolphin noises in the break.
Go the Dolphins.
It's like throwing out a line.
That's what I do when I go fishing. Friday nights, Saturday at lunch. I love fishing. Friday night fish with the old man.
Yeah.
Favourite. Yep.
Favourite area? Fishing area? Be down south somewhere.
Yeah, he's...
Bondi?
No. Different fishing. That's what it, mate. Keep it clean, mate. Talking about...
I said Bondi.
With the dad. With the dad in the boat, mate. You're talking about icebergs. Bit different. What are you showing me, mate?
Nothing.
Round 14 in the NRL starts tomorrow night. And naturally, keep a close eye on those team lists with your bets and your tips, etc., particularly those teams more affected by Origin. But the Tigers are $2.05. Slight outsiders at Campbelltown as it stands against the Canberra Raiders, who are $1.77, and the Raiders -1.5 at the line. And I guess a lot of focus on this game, at least last week, Vonnie, was the fact that Jared Croker was sitting it out so he could play his 300th at home the following week, something that Ricky Stewart said was always planned anyway.
300 party on hold for another week, just so Canberra can turn out in a major way to honour next week, their captain, and celebrate game number 300. And just off the back of that, the other major talking point around the Raiders all week, obviously, was probably one of the most distressing scenes that we've ever seen on a playing field, with Corey Harawira-Naera collapsing on Saturday. That feels like a lifetime ago, but just seeing him suffer that seizure, the Raiders back rows had scans and medical advice all week, and now they're thinking the doctors that it may have been related to concussion. So he's going to miss at least the next 4 to 6 wow. weeks. So we wish Corey all the best in his recovery. So Joe Tarpany is going to skipper this one. Seb Chris is still trying to recover. I think Big Red was unbelievable last week. Corey Horsburgh scored a try, tackle breaks, line breaks, 38 tackles. I thought he was sensational. Now, the West Tigers, don't forget, last time we saw them, they absolutely annihilated the Cowboys that had the week off, and they got to enjoy the bye. So, who
Did
knows
they
what
ever,
we're going
to
get. Oh, yeah. Appy Corrissau, he's now got 48 hours to recover from that opening game.
Get out there,
Appy. State of Origin.
It's not a question. Well, he must play.
That's right. I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of pride that the Origin players take in returning to their club. West Tigers definitely need him, but I'm going to go Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't go past the Raiders.
Oh, shock me.
Tigers have been very good. But the way that Papali'i and Jack Whiten played the other night against South Sydney, very impressive. And they will benefit from those guys not being a part of Origin football this year, the Raiders. I like the look of their forward pack. Tigers have been good the last month of football, but I think the Raiders can get the job done.
I disagree. I think the Tigers will win, and I think Jack should come out of retirement and be number 14 for the Blues in game two. Over to you, Mido.
I'm tipping the Tigers.
Wow. Where did that come from?
Jack back.
So Nico gone.
Nico out. Play clubbies and be the best player in clubbies.
Jeez.
Nico out, Jack back.
Jeez, you're harsh.
Yeah, very.
That was six. That was over the bowler's head.
Downtown, early, first ball.
I'm going the West Tigers to win this game.
Yes, buddy.
Where are we watching it? Now, Cronulla, Brisbane, Saturday night, Fox League. Cronulla $1.52, Brisbane $2.55. 5.5 is your line here. Sharks, the minus. Well, Nick, I'll be fresh for this one, Vonnie.
Unfortunately, he didn't quite see a lot of game that he probably would have expected. It's going to be a big night at Shark Park. This is the top three showdown. Cronulla have loved the week off. They've used that to sort of address some of the inconsistency issues that Craig Fitzgibbon has noticed. Broncos, I think they're going to have to monitor all of their Origin players. Of course, Reece Walsh, he'll be on the next stratosphere after that debut. Selwyn Cobbo scored 2 tries in such a big game. He'll be up and about again. Tom Flegler should be fine. He's been hit with a grade 2 careless contact, but it should just be a monetary issue for him. No suspension. Payne Haas, he's got to come back to the Brisbane Broncos and do something big. I'm going to tip Bronx here.
I can't tip the Bronx. I think, you know, with those players backing up after Origin, they could be a little bit tired. Nico would be keen to get out there on the weekend and show that he deserved to get on the field earlier. They look to me to be a bit more settled. I think the Sharks at home will be too good for the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Sharks as well. I'm with you, Loz.
Yeah, the Sharks at home. Let's go to the match between the Cowboys and the Melbourne Storm. This is on Sunday afternoon. The Cowboys they had to be better, didn't they, against Parra last week, 24-16. Origin affected, of course. They're $2.70 outsiders. Melbourne $1.47. 6.5 is your line here, with the Cowboys being the plus. And, you know, you're keeping an eye on the likes of Harry Grant, Cameron Munster, of course, others as well here, Vonnie. But the Cowboys, it's been a weird season for them, to say the least, so far.
Yeah, I just can't really go near the Cowboys. North Queensland, obviously, they'll just be fingers crossed that Reuben Cotter comes back from Origin with all of that magic man of the match stuff that we saw last night. Just see how he recovers, along with Val Holmes and Murray Taulagi. Jeremiah Nanai, he's back from his 4-week suspension for a dangerous hip drop, so he is a welcome return for the Cowboys. Todd Payton just needs to... He did get a better response from his players against the Eels, but The fact is, they're second last on the ladder. They've only won 5 games all year. 4 of them were in Townsville. They welcomed the Storm to North Queensland. They'll love the sunshine up there. But and Melbourne have been loving the week off as well. Munster and Grant, they'll just have that Queensland glow about them. I just can't see the Cowboys getting close.
Upset of the week for mine. Ooh. Cowboys. Yeah, I'm banking on Taumalolo playing.
Nenai's such a beast.
Nenai is a very good player. Cotter coming back on such a high if he plays. The heat might be a concern for some of the Melbourne players. Yeah, I'm going to go on upset. I think the Cowboys have been disappointing, but I think this might be the game where they get it right and it might kickstart their season. That's what I'm banking on.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go Melbourne.
Well, I did tip them to win the comp, the Cowboys, so
I'm not giving up on them yet.
Until they're completely dead in the water. I think I've actually penned them once already, but I'm going to tip them as well here, Loz, at home on Saturday evening. And then, yeah, the round concludes Sunday night, Fox League. Penrith are $1.18 against the Dragons, $4.80 plus 14.5 at the line. I'm sure none of us will be tipping the Dragons. What are you going to tip the Dragons, are you, pup?
No. I'm going to tip the Panthers.
Okay. Vonnie, you'll be tipping the Panthers, who have all those players backing up from Origin.
Yeah, half a dozen Panthers. They shouldn't have any dramas for the turnaround for this. Look, last year, Panthers didn't drop a single game through this Origin period, despite the increased workload. And really, the less said about the Dragons at the moment, the better. So, Panthers.
Have you got a firm pick, Vonnie, in terms of someone to win the comp right here and now?
Oh, well, no. I'm one of those fools that thought the Eels were going to win at the start of the year. And, I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. I mean, Broncos really are in the box seat. I think there's just that asterisk beside them where you think, oh, my gosh, is that implosion going to creep in again? Because I think people were so scarred from the way that their season just withered away so drastically last year. And I know they didn't have Paddy Carrigan for a bulk of that sort of 5 to 6 game doldrums that they found themselves in to finish off the year. So, I don't know. I'm a Broncos fan. I'd love to see them in the grand final at least. I think they've probably proved that they could be in a grand final. Do they win a premiership? I don't know. It's a pretty special playing group Kevy's got at the moment.
Vonnie, you've been all class this morning. Actually, Uncle Laurie.
Oh, Uncle Laurie. Yes, I do. Yes, Uncle Laurie. This is out of the Uncle Laurie Black Book. Rose Hill, race 8, number 18, Tony B.
Tony B. Race 8, number 18, Tony B. Barrier 1, Chris Wallett, Jay Ford, $5.50. It is the favourite in an open race there. A benchmark 94 over the 1,800 metres. Okay, Tony B. We'll give Tony a big cheer on Saturday, Bonnie, but thank you so much for not rubbing it in this morning.
Not at all. You all sounded a little bit wounded. I wouldn't be so cruel. Safe travels back to Sydney, boys. I want to hear the stories off air.
Thank you so
much. See you, Bonnie.